Today's first reading is taken from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 to 15, Israel's restoration. In that day, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins, and will rebuild it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reap will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring my people, Israel, back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. The second reading is taken from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." So they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water did. They knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he relieved his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Lovely reading. Very well read indeed. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Patrick. I'm a curate here. And today we start a new sermon series. Yeah, a huge, overwhelming tidal wave of excitement coming from you all. Welcome to everybody who worships with us online as well. As I said, today is the first of a new sermon series based on the signs in the Gospel according to John and the I Am sayings as well. As we've read and as we've seen today is turning water into wine. Now, before I pray, I just wanted to just, not a disclaimer as such, but Christians have different views on consumption of alcohol. Some totally abstain and they leave it to one side. Others, like myself, enjoy a drink. But we should respect each other's views, of course, on this. And right now, there's a number of people joining a community here at CTK who have had some past issues, perhaps, with consumption of alcohol. And we need to respect that when we organise events, when we invite them along. So the Bible leaves it open to enjoy alcohol, but it also frowns upon when it gets too much. So I just thought I'd share that to start off with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gifts that you give us. Yes, including wine and the food we have and the provision you give us. We thank you for all those things. What a blessing. We hold our meditations and our thoughts to you this morning. And may my words be pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, amen. In the Kelleher household, the origin of wine is quite important. Wine is a bit of a hobby of mine, so I think the origin of the wine we drink is important. Or at least I think so. Emma Jane, my wife, she was doing Street Pastors last night, so she's not here today. She enjoys, quote unquote, a nice glass of chilled white wine. That's one of her little sayings. Patrick, she says, can I have a nice glass of chilled white wine? And I like to think that's because I've carefully selected the wine. Maybe it's a nice Riesling or a Sauvignon Blanc, a Chardonnay perhaps. And perhaps I've selected and looked at the country it originates from. Perhaps I've looked at the region. Perhaps I've looked at the vineyard. Perhaps I've even read about the soil that the vine was grown in and the history of the wonderful wine of that lovely chilled glass of Chardonnay I passed over to Emma Jane. Or it might just be because she enjoys a chilled glass of white wine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to origin, I think it really matters in terms of the wine that we choose. And I wonder what the wedding guests thought at the banquet to have this choice wine, as John calls it, the best wine, and that's been saved until now. I wonder if they were discussing the origins of this amazing wine that they were drinking, this exceptional wine, and we'll perhaps unpack that later. But in our first reading from Amos, we learn a little bit about the origins of God's people. The origins of God's people. And this particular piece of text is probably added a little bit later. It was added probably around about 550 to 600 BC, so round about the exile of God's people. The author of the passage talks about Israel's time of salvation and restoration. And it's good news, actually, that the Holy Spirit inspired this extra piece to be put into the end of Amos. It's very good news. And it follows, though, 8 chapters of Amos describing God's people in a mess, God's people in a crisis. There's judgment coming on them and on its neighbours, on Israel and on their neighbours, because they have strayed away from God and his ways. There's war crimes. There's oppression of the poor. The needy are crushed. God's people worship through religious festivals on one hand and mistreat others on the next. But tucked away here at the end, the prophecy, the writer describes hope through Israel's restoration, as the NIV calls it. There will be restoration of the house of David. The Messiah is described as the son of David, of course, in Matthew 1. Restoration of all nations that bear God's name, declares the Lord. And restoration through the rebuilding of cities, it says in this passage. And we pray for the people of Ukraine in the hope that their cities soon will be built in peace and love. The restoration is described through the lens of a bountiful harvest and through the production of wine. Amos says, when the reaper will be overtaken by the ploughman and the planter by the one treading grapes, new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills, and I will bring my people Israel back from exile. Words that align closely with Isaiah 25:6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. In these and other Old Testament scriptures, the coming of the Messiah, otherwise known as the coming of the Messianic Kingdom, is characterized as a lavish banquet with abundance of wine. Jesus' first miracle, as recorded in today's reading from John, is the first sign that the expected Messiah has arrived. The gospel according to John has got pretty much one message. John wants to tell us that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Logos. He is the Word. And we can look at the beginning of this gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John wants us to know that Jesus is the Son of God. His gospel is sometimes known as the gospel of glory. And here John records Jesus' mother, Jesus, and the first five disciples attending a wedding at Cana. A wedding feast is the setting for the first sign through which Jesus would reveal his glory, we read in verse 11. So three things. Number one, we see Jesus' glory through his compassion. We see Jesus' glory through his compassion. Mary makes an appeal to Jesus. They have no more wine, she says. Wine was a symbol of joy at a wedding feast, and to run out would have been very embarrassing. Jesus responds, "Woman, why do you involve me?" he says. "My hour has not yet come." Jesus' words were respectful, but the message was clear. Their relationship was changing. Jesus was moving into a new part of his ministry, a ministry that doesn't take heed of human instruction, but takes heed only of the divine instruction from God as the Father. Mary leaves it to Jesus, her son, and her God. "Do whatever he tells you," she tells the servants. Jesus shows compassion for his mother, for the bride and groom, for the servants who get to take a full part in the miracle. They are a part of this. And that says something. The people who are serving others have big parts to play in the kingdom of God. Yeah? Not people with dog collars, not people with theology degrees. The people of God have a full part to play in the kingdom of God. So he has compassion on them and all attending the wedding. A celebration of the wedding must continue. Ultimately, he shows compassion to all who believe in him, you and me, as he drank the cup of a suffering, the crucifixion, before the heavenly wedding banquet can begin. The banquet that we are all eternally invited to attend through and in Jesus. Secondly, we see Jesus' glory through his lavish provision. Through his provision. Jesus changes hundreds of litres of water into hundreds of litres of wine. Not just enough, but more than enough. Not just normal wine, but the choice wine, better than any Chateau Margaux, Chateau Lafite, or Petrus. Better than all of that stuff. What do the French know about wine? Oh, no, sorry. Actually, I'm online, and French is my favourite type of wine, so I will follow that up. As it happens, French know a lot about wine, so... Yeah! Totally thrown myself now. So the water that Jesus turned into wine had an extraordinary origin, extraordinary, made by the hands of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and made freely available to the humble folk of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' lavish provision is freely available to us through turning to him, asking for forgiveness, and seeking to grow into his provision through the word, through prayer and thanksgiving. We may sometimes prefer the provision of this world, but it's Jesus' provision that will eternally hit the spot. We won't be saved through our own earthly identities or what we consume or who we are here, only through the identity provided in Jesus from the Father, enabled by the Holy Spirit. And finally, we see Jesus' glory through revelation. Revelation. John wants us to reveal the significance of this wedding feast. A wedding feast is a celebration of a man and woman giving themselves to each other in love, humility, vulnerability, a marriage should be a place of secure commitment and covenantal love. The Apostle Paul tells us that marriage mirrors the relationship between Jesus and his bride. Ephesians 5, 30 to 32. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. This is the first of the signs where Jesus reveals his glory. It's through this sign, performed at a wedding feast, that we see a foretaste of the eternal wedding banquet. The banquet he is leading all Christians to. The banquet available to all who believe in him. Compassion, provision, and revelation. Compassion, provision, revelation. CPR. Do some of us today need to resuscitate our faith? Do some of us find ourselves today exploring and on the edge of something that they want to explore and they need a kickstart into faith? The origins of our faith can be found through the glory of Jesus, through his compassion, through his lavish provision, through the revelation that, as John records, his disciples believe in him. So, as we believe in the one who changed water for washing into exceptional wine, we also believe in the Lord Jesus who changes the waters of our brokenness into the joys of an eternal relationship with him. A relationship that starts now. All we need to do is believe.